This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Well, here we are, the 12th of October already. Now, there's a message just arrived from Diego E. Berman, and it's about Tuesday, what happened on Tuesday, the 10 of the 10. So, welcome to the 1010 Energy Gateway. Dear friends, the 1010 energy waves are already flowing in. This type of energetic vibration took place on the Gregorian calendar day of Tuesday, October the 10th. When our consciousness resonates with this double 1010 energy, we can tap into the energetic vibrations held by the geometry of this number. 1010 can act as an energetic catalyzer or alchemetic fire or trigger inner changes. This specific 1010 energy flow is associated with regaining our independence and sovereignty, creating an opening for infinite potential. The number 10 represents the energy of self-determination in all its aspects. The number 10 energy holds the idea of starting anew in any area of your life, whether it's work-related, relationships, that's with others or with yourself, your spiritual path, or moving to a new location. As we connect with the 1010 gateway energy, we can tap into the energy of support and leadership, in which new ideas can catapult us into new higher timelines. Number 10 is formed by a pillar and a circle. It is both masculine and feminine, or contains within the father-mother principles. It means wholeness, and because of this attitude, it brings with it the energy of new creations and the responsibilities we have as humans to use this power for the greater good. The 1010 gateway will prime our energetic fields before the solar eclipse of Saturday the 14th of October. Big changes are already taking place within us. I'm sure many of you can sense the energetic tension in the air. Please stay centered within your heart. Take frequent breaks and stay hydrated. Our bodies are getting ready for a very important week, energetically speaking. Have a productive and peaceful 1010 gateway, and may this week mark the beginning of a wonderful new life chapters in your earth soul journey. Much love. We are one. So that was from Diego E. Berman. Now, what's it all happening? We've got an election coming up on the end of the week, on Saturday. So perhaps it's time for a change. But you need to think about it. If you've already voted, it's too late. But you need to think about where we're going and all the changes. And then, of course, there's the eclipse on Saturday as well. This is Bliss and a suggestion for you, coming to the light.
To the light, why don't you?
So now Pam Gregory is going to tell us all about the eclipse on Saturday the 14th.
Hi everyone, Pam Gregory, astrologer. I'm going to be talking to you today about the first half of October and the solar eclipse that we have coming up on the 14th. As we enter October, we are still well within the influence of that fourth big full supermoon in Aries on the 29th. Supermoons are when the moon is much closer to the earth, and therefore there is greater possibility, greater probability of seismic activity, you know, big earth changes. So as we enter October, well within that energy. October, November, really the rest of the year, October and November in particular, are going to be huge months energetically for reasons I'll describe, partly because there are two eclipses this month in October, and I'll be talking about the first of those in this video. So we're going to have strong themes around power and sovereignty this month. And indeed, even when Pluto moves into Aquarius at the end of January, 24th of January, issues around freedoms, human rights will still be running. But certainly these next few months are going to be dramatic. They're going to be fast moving. They're going to be eventful, partly not only because of the eclipses, also because, as I'm going to be talking about in a moment, Pluto is moving stationary direct. But then we have, after several months of all the outer planets being retrograde, we're going to have this whole cascade of the outer planets moving direct, creating more momentum. So Pluto will move forwards on the 10th, Saturn moves forward on the 4th of November, Neptune moves forward on the 6th of December, and Uranus moves forward, I think it's the 27th of January next year. So this whole kind of waterfall of a shift towards forward motion. So that will create more events in our world and in our lives. And we really are going through a radical review, personally, collectively, radical review and change this year. And it's particularly this year because this is the year that Pluto is square to the nodal axis, this vice that we've been in all year, which is really all about collective choice. Are we living in fear? or are we living in love? We can't do both at the same time. Are we living in victim consciousness, or are we living in a state of empowerment, our own sovereignty? And again, you can't be both at the same time. So you have to choose one end of the axis or the other to focus on. And this is really pivotal in creating our reality going forwards. Again, individually and collectively, this is the year that this is happening, because next year it moves on. Pluto moves direct. The nodal axis keeps moving. So this is the year of intensity around those choices. But it sets us up for whatever is to unfold in the coming months and years after this year. So it's incredibly important that you become conscious of your choices, that you become conscious of where you're putting your attention and your focus. It is ever so easy to be distracted by, look over here, look what's happened to this person, or look over there, that's what's happened to that person. Stay on track with your vision. I'll be talking more about that as we move through this. But we are going through a process where sometimes Pluto will strip us down to the core. The analogy I use for Pluto transits is that it's like a tree that dies in a wood, falls, rots down, and ultimately creates new soil. But it's a process of death, transformation, and rebirth. And in that sense, it's very much a creative, a regenerative process, but nevertheless, it can be a little bit tough on the way in if Pluto is aspecting any of your planets or angles. So if you have any planets between 27 and 29, right to the end of a cardinal sign, and those are Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, any planets, angles, midheaven, ascendant, etc., you are likely to be feeling intensity in some area of your life. If you're not feeling it yet, this is the final hit, as it were. You're going to get a little bit of a hit September, beginning of September, mid-November next year. But this is the big year that this is happening, because essentially Pluto certainly won't be coming back to 27 degrees of the cardinal signs for about 248 years. So this is the last time in your life you're going to be experiencing this. If you have anything right at the very end of those cardinal signs, there may be some dregs that you'll feel September to November next year, but this is the big year. So what does that do? It really forces us to look with honesty at our relationships, at our behavior patterns, at our life, depending on where Pluto is moving in your chart in late Capricorn to you. So wherever Pluto is moving in sort of 27 to the end of Capricorn, there is going to be perhaps some radical change, a review of your thinking around that, a review of your values, certainly a big review around relationships. That's coming up strongly this year, of all kinds, relationships of all kinds. And so you're going to be moving away from anyone who makes you feel heavy or frustrated or drains you, who just isn't on the same page anymore. You're going to be ultimately living much more authentically and honestly. It's kind of streamlining. It's a kind of strip down, if you like, in your energy, like a feng shui process, simplifying, focusing. Who are you now? Because we are all being upgraded with these high frequency energies from the solar flares, the surges of photonic light. And we are not the same people that we were even a few months ago, and certainly not 3 years ago by a mile. So who are you now? Who are you? Do you have a clearer sense of purpose? Do you have a clearer sense of passion? And maybe relationships that you've had for a very long time, friendships, romantic relationships that you thought would be in your life forever, are up for review right now. Or those people, for whatever reason, move out of your life. So this is a very, very big time of really radical change. And we have to get very clear on our values. on which we hang our life, because everything, you know, what's important in your life? What's important? Because you hang your behavior, your day-to-day actions, your reality on those values, on what is important to focus on. So be very conscious and wise as we go through this process. And remember, it's this year that focus on choice is most acute because of Pluto square, the nodal axis. I've talked about that for months and months and months if you go back to previous videos. So let me start with some of the detail right at the beginning of the month. 2nd of October, Mercury at 25 of Virgo opposes Neptune 25 of Pisces. So this can bring up, which we get repeatedly, a what's true, what's not. This is excellent for your imagination. It's excellent for creative writing, any kind of creativity, but it's not great for clarity, particularly around the facts and the information. And Mercury in Virgo, one of the signs it rules, wants to pin down the facts, get it right. But with Neptune opposing Mercury, there may be, you know, quite a lot of sense of fog or not sure or smoke and mirrors, or we just can't be sure enough of those facts. And it may be what we're trying to understand is particularly around health issues, because this is the Virgo Pisces axis, which is very linked to health. However, by the next day, by the 3rd, we may start to get a little more clarity because that exact opposition eases off as Mercury moves forwards, and Mercury then comes into a trine with Pluto. So we can get a little more focused, a little more clear. And this is very good, actually, for research, for digging deep and sussing other people's agendas. Sussing other people's agendas, Mercury still in Virgo, around the facts, the detail, the information. Virgo, very linked to health. So Mercury and Pluto are at 25 of their signs at that point in Earth. Then by the 4th of October, we have a very, very strong day. Astrologically, we have Mars exactly opposing Eris at 24:50 of Libra Aries. Now, Eris in myth is the sister of Mars. She's the female equivalent, but she's also warrior energy like Mars. And so this is really, Mars energizes Eris. Mars energizes Eris. So there's quite potential for quite a lot of rebellion or revolution or uppity behavior where we are. On the one hand, this is quite complex because it's energizing Eris to say, okay, what's the truth? I'm going to stand in my sovereignty. I demand justice. I demand a fairer society. And Eris is relentless for that. She will not give in. She's very uncompromising. However, Mars is in Libra. And Libra we're going to be talking about a lot in this video, because Libra tends to be much more easygoing. It's the sign of compromise. It's the sign of people-pleasing, of compliance, of don't rock the boat, you know, keep everything harmonious. And because Mars is conjunct the South Node, the South Node is our collective past, our collective behavior patterns. Are we going to choose to fall back on don't rock the boat, be nice, don't ruffle the feathers, be obedient, be compliant, that end of the axis? Or are we going to choose Eris conjunct the North Node? Eris is very tightly conjunct the North Node, as you'll see in a moment when we look at the chart. And this is the month where that is really acute. So the North Node is our future collective destiny, where we are supposed to head collectively for our soul's growth. And Eris is conjunct. Eris has been conjunct for months and will continue to be for the rest of the year. But this is a very tight place right now, a tight conjunction for Eris and the North Node. And so this is encouraging us to stand up for sovereignty and our individual rights and freedoms very strongly. Big, big theme. So that's going to be interesting, and be very conscious, as I say, because we can just kind of ramble through life and we're so busy and we've just got to get through shopping done and look after the kids and pay the bills. And, you know, we're exhausted by the end of the day, and it's very easy to fall back on past behavior patterns. We've got to be on our eagle's perch, observing our thought patterns, our behavior patterns. Are they suitable for who we are now and where we want to go as a society and in our individual lives? Be much more conscious. This is what's going to create wisdom for you moving forwards. So that opposition between Mars and Eris, again, as you'll see in a moment when we look at the chart, feeds into this vice squeeze of Pluto square the nodal axis, because Mars is at one end of the nodal axis and Eris is at the other. So this feeds into this whole theme of individual power, individual sovereignty versus that clash, that square with Pluto in Capricorn, which is about the power of the state, the power of government, you know, big power, big constitutional, institutionalized power. So that's the clash. But know that we are stepping into a new version of ourselves, and again, cultivate that. If you haven't sussed that so far in terms of what that means, start to meditate, ask your dreams, you know, what is this new version of self, this higher version of self? Show me in my dreams as you fall asleep. Do sit down and do some automatic channeled writing, that kind of thing. Continually ask, show me, you know, are your guides, your angels are there to serve, to guide you through life. Ask them, shout louder if you're not getting an answer. Show me, I'm not clear enough. Who is this higher version of self, this refined, this less dense version of self, this higher dimensional version of self with a clearer sense of purpose and passion? Because from this point on, we are absolutely on a mission. So it could be quite a turbulent time for people. Marriages may end, long-term careers, long-term residency may end, as we step into what we have already sort of integrated with these higher frequencies. None of us is the same. None of us is the same as we were three and a half years ago. We are finer, we are less dense. It's been unavoidable to incorporate these higher frequencies that have come into the earth so rapidly in surges. So we have to make that a frequency match in our reality. We have to step into that and say, okay, who is the new me? What am I going to create from this new me, this higher dimension? So on the 7th, we have this repeating aspect between the moon squaring Eris and opposing Pluto, highlighting this individual versus state power clash. And a big day on the 8th, big day on the 8th, around that same theme, because Mars becomes exactly square to Pluto. This is at 27 degrees of Libra Capricorn. Big clash. Where does the power lie for you in your life? Are you giving away your power to Pluto in Capricorn? Or are you bringing it back to your own center peacefully, not violently in any way? I'd never suggest that. But are you bringing back that strong sense of self, power? I know who I am. I know where my boundaries lie. And I know what I'm creating in my reality. It's that kind of a feeling. You don't have to be loud and holding placards about this, but you do have to be really clear about your boundaries, really clear. Then on the 10th, we have the Pluto going stationary direct. Now, this is a big deal because we're really going to feel that, you know, for the first few days of October, we're going to still be under the influence of that full supermoon in Aries on the 29th of September. And then really from about the 3rd, 4th of October, which are strong days anyway, as I highlighted, the 4th is particularly strong, we are going to be feeling Pluto moving stationary direct. And it's like this huge ship, this huge liner, which slows and slows and stops stationary and then very slowly starts to move on in a different direction. So we, the symbolism, as I've always said, is always magnified, amplified of the symbolism of the planet that is changing direction. So here it's about control. It's about power. It's about transformation on every level, individual and collective. This is huge. So this is going to be the last time. This is at 27 degrees, 53 minutes of Capricorn. And this is the last time, as I've mentioned, that it is going to be at this point for another 248 years. Last time in your lifetime. So check closely in your chart and see what it's doing, because it will be doing something, even if you don't have a planet or an angle there. But if you do have planets and angles between 27 and the very end of the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, between now and the end of January, particularly 24th of Jan, Pluto starts to move back into Aquarius, there could well be a sense of letting go of the old, a death of the old, really, and a stepping in to a transformation into the new. And it can feel quite raw in a way, but in another way, it's all about your empowerment. Pluto transits are always ultimately about your empowerment. So, and this, because it's Pluto stationary direct and still squaring the nodal axis, in all the points I've made about choices, I think because you have to choose either end of the aspect, victim, you know, victim or empowerment, fear or love, that is producing. I've been talking about this since the end of 2019. If you go back to my videos at the end of 2019, I was talking about the fork in the road at that point, just a few months before we got into everything that happened in early 2020. And so the two broad collective timelines are very, very clear right now, and they're highlighted by this Aries-Libra axis, actually. So one end is more compliant. The Libra end is more compliant and more obedient and all that follows from that. And the other end of the axis, if you choose that, has this greater sense of sovereignty and empowerment. So choose wisely. As I say, this vice-like grip eases off as we get into next year. So this is your karmic choice point, I want to say. It, you know, it could not be more important. And although we each are on more individual timelines, as I've said many times, than we've ever been before, they are these two very clear and broad collective timelines, the fork in the road. This is it. This is the time. So with Pluto stationary direct, we could be involved in, as with all Pluto transits, for the first half of the month. And this is running straight into the solar eclipse I'm going to be talking about. Power plays, manipulation, control, either in your own personal life or out in the world. You know, power being very apparent, and greater attempted control on populations, that being really, really clear, more really big, scary things coming down the road. And just remember to see those as it's another one of those. I could not state that more clearly, because that will change your attitude. So this is beginning this whole cascade, as I say, of the outer planets moving direct. And that's why we're going to feel more dynamism, see more events in the world, more momentum. So let us look now at the solar eclipse that's coming up. So this is the solar eclipse in Aries, in Libra. And you can see that I, as always, I set this for England. This is where I live. So this is happening. This is like a big new moon. Any solar eclipse is like a big new moon. So we have the sun and moon always together at new moon at 2107 of Libra. And this is happening in Pacific time. You have to take, in fact, you have to take 8 hours off for this, 8 hours prior to this. But here I'm looking at the chart for England. And this is not a total solar eclipse. It's what's called an annular solar eclipse. So that word comes from the Latin annulus, which means a ring. So we are still going to see kind of a ring of fire, as it were, around the sun at this solar eclipse. But it's going to be strong because we have a lot of cardinality here at this time. And so eclipses tend to be like wild cards. They're a little bit like Uranus transits because unexpected things could happen. Things can come out of the blue, you know, very shocking, very surprising. And the changes are usually permanent that we experience at this time. Now, if 21 of Libra is falling close to your own sun, S-U-N, or your midheaven, then you could be in some way jumped into prominence or given an opportunity that comes out of the blue. You know, as you're suddenly promoted in some way, made more visible. If it's conjunct your ascendant, then it could be, if you're available for it, bring in a new relationship. So there's something new. It's a big new beginning. So don't forget to set a new intention for this solar eclipse. See which house 21 of Libra falls in for you. Set a new intention for the seed that you want to plant in your life. Now, again, all the themes I've talked about here, I've talked very clearly and loudly already, actually for months and months, of Pluto squaring this nodal axis. Pluto at 27, square to this nodal axis. Now, the south node isn't usually shown, but it's always, always, always opposite the north node. At 25 here. And there's a slight difference between the mean node and the true node. True node, I think, is at 24:44 of Aries, but I mean, they're within minutes of each other. Eris is just falling off the edge of the chart here at 24:44 of Aries, so incredibly tightly conjunct that north node. Now, I just want to say also, before we dive into this solar eclipse chart, that, and I'll put the link below, a year or so ago, I did a whole video on the Pluto return for the US, because this transiting Pluto is coming back to the so-called natal Pluto in the US chart exactly by degree, 27 degrees. It's not quite by minute, because I think the natal Pluto in the US chart is 27:32 minutes, but nevertheless, it's exact by degree. So what does that mean? Well, again, the video below will give you a lot more information, but for sure, this, because Pluto in the house of that US chart, and the US chart is set for 4th of July, 1776, 10 past five in the afternoon, Philadelphia. That was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It's the chart that most astrologers use for the US. It's in the second house of the US chart. So the second house is linked to the economy and the finances of the chart of that country. And it's interesting that the second eclipse in October is in Taurus. And that is the last time we're going to have an eclipse in Taurus for certainly another 9 years. That's a financial sign. So in October, we could start to see some big changes, big volatility, perhaps, that may begin in the US and ripple across the rest of the world. You know, for instance, at the moment, I'm well aware that the debt level for the US has never been higher. I understand it's $33 trillion, which is just, you know, beyond comprehension. Pluto is the planet of debt and default. as well as being in the second house of the country, and deficit, as well as being in the second house of the country's economy. It's also the house of other countries' values. So what does the country stand for? Is it freedom and liberty, as was originally envisaged by the founding fathers? Or has that changed now? Who is that? What is the US? What are the values? It's also Pluto in Capricorn is linked to both transiting and natal for the US, is linked to the constitution of a country. The politics, the whole legal setup, which was set up last in July 1776. Is that going to be transformed, Pluto, planet of transformation, death and rebirth, for the US? Is that going to change the US constitutionally, politically, in terms of its structure, even the states that make up the US? I think we are in for a huge time of change that will begin in the US and inevitably in many ways ripple across the rest of the world, which could well be economic. So October, November, big, big months to be aware of that. So things I've talked about already. I've talked at length about Eris conjunct the North Node. I've talked at length about Mars, which is here square the South Node as well. Relationship issues. Relationship. Libra is the sign of relationship. So that's going to come up big time, this reevaluation of relationships. And it's very interesting that the solar eclipse, the sun and moon here, tiny bit wide, but certainly operational, is part of this whole T-square. 21 of Libra, 27 of Capricorn. So it's feeding into this whole T-square along with Eris and along with Mars. Incredibly powerful. So are we starting to look at relationships in a new light? That's a very important part of this picture. Another thing, you know, we may be, as well as these themes of sovereignty and power and Eris being very uppity and the feisty street fighter, and, you know, she will be absolutely uncompromising for truth, justice, and honesty, a fairer society. Libra is the sign, together with Sagittarius, which is more connected to the truth. Libra is the scales of justice. It's very linked to the law. So is there some big legal event, challenge, that is going to emerge at this time? I mean, there are many legal developments behind the scenes, but here we have Sun and Moon square to Pluto here in Capricorn. Capricorn is government. So we may see some, you know, bigger developments there legally on the world stage. And what could they be about? Well, this solar eclipse, this Sun and Moon 21 of Libra, they are actually incredibly tightly square to the original 12th of January 2020 conjunction between Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn, 12th of January 2020. And we all know what kind of flowed from that point on. So is this new beginning, solar eclipse, in some way related to that? Because in addition, we have the sun and moon, the solar eclipse, opposing Chiron. And Chiron is to do with, you know, woundedness or illness, sickness, that kind of thing. And it is indeed exactly by degree opposing Mercury as well. So are there going to be some new information, new facts, new information, new detail, Mercury, about the wounding, the illness, etc., but equally new ways, because new moon, new ways of healing? And is this whole solar eclipse going to be shining a new light on all of that. I think that's very interesting to contemplate. That's really reinforced by Uranus, planet of earthquakes, volcanoes, seismic activity, political, financial earthquakes, volatility of all kinds. It's also the planet of awakening, the planet of truth, is in a very tight quincunx, 150 degree aspect to the solar eclipse. So this is about reinforcing Eris's theme of rebellion, revolution, could bring in some new galactic information, galactic news, but it's very much the planet of awakening. And in the light of this new moon, big new moon, solar eclipse, are we going to see things in a different light and as a result take radically different action moving forwards? Because solar and lunar eclipses tend to jump us back in our path of destiny if we've strayed. They can alter our course of action. And my goodness gracious, Pluto square the nodal axis and Mars and Eris and solar eclipse can radically, radically change what has been our direction in the past to our direction going forwards. Because Pluto is changing direction as well, just 4 days before this solar eclipse. Other things to point out, Homer has just recently tipped into Scorpio here, 018 of Scorpio. So very tightly conjunct Mars. Mars is going to energize Homer. And so Homer, very linked to the new earth, regeneration, creativity, regenerating self, regenerating nature. So Mars is going to pour a lot of energy into those themes of earth, nature, etc. Also regenerative medicine. Also Scorpio is very linked to cleaning up toxicity. And that this could be linked to the seas because Scorpio is a water sign linked to toxicity. But also Mars has just moved into Scorpio on the 12th of October, and it stays in that sign. Remember, it's the ancient ruler of Scorpio. It stays in that sign until the 24th of November. It is going to be digging deep into secrets. Mars needs to get to the bottom of things in Scorpio. Again, uncompromising, won't give in. And these could be secrets in Scorpio, which are long repressed. They're to do with things that are, you know, underhand, underground. It could be big money. It can be criminal money situations like that. But Mars is going to dig them up. And that's linked to the themes of, you know, Uranus aspecting this solar eclipse and really Pluto moving through the very last degrees now of Capricorn. Pluto's purpose has to be to reveal anything that is not for our highest good when it is moving through particularly the last degrees of a sign. Capricorn here is government, corporations, institutions. So we have some very clear themes here. So that is going to be, I think, quite dramatic in revelation and disclosure. So we shall see what unfolds. Another aspect just to pick up here is that Saturn is opposing Venus in Virgo. And the sort of literal translation here is detailed beauty, which is tangible, Saturn. So this is excellent for if you're working on any kind of creative project, which is working with tangible materials. So this could be, you know, pottery, ceramics, it could be sculpture, that kind of thing, even tapestry or weaving, where the details, detailed beauty and making that real, Saturn. So it's really excellent for that. The other aspect of that is it makes you, again, look at relationships in a much more pragmatic and realistic way. We kind of lose the pink, fluffy clouds and the romance. It's a much more honest appraisal of romantic relationships, and is this really a true reflection of me? It can also be slightly depressive for wealth, finances, because Venus is linked to wealth and currencies and finances and banking. So it can have a slightly depressive effect on that. Remember, as I say, we're going into that lunar eclipse in Taurus in the second half of the month. So there's a theme emerging clearly here too. Now, I haven't put it in, but the galactic center is at 27 of Sagittarius, and Varda, dwarf planet Varda, is at 25 of Sagittarius. So Neptune will be in a long-term square to those. I've mentioned this in the last couple of videos, and a long-term square to those, not only this year, but all of next year. So this is about shifting us into our intuition, you know, those higher perceptions, finer perceptions. Rely on your intuition much more. Come back to self. Come back to you. You know, can you, again, use your dreams? Can you use dowsing, using a pendulum? Can you use channeled writing? Whatever, can you, your sway test? What makes you feel heavy? What makes you feel light? Try and develop that intuitive side, because that's our higher guidance. Absolutely. In terms, I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. And just in terms of astrocartography, this solar eclipse is going to be falling on the IC, which is the base of the chart, the land. It's falling straight through India and very close to Calcutta. For that geography, we also have Chiron on the midheaven. So it's some kind of issue around the leadership and the government. It could be some kind of, you know, wounding or issue around the government, in particularly in India. In other geographies, the solar eclipse, which includes Mars, is on the midheaven. Remember, midheaven is leadership, government, running straight through Ottawa in Canada, north-south straight through kind of central US, just west of Houston, Texas, and then straight down through Mexico. So again, changes in leadership or government in those areas. And Mars there suggests some kind of forceful situation, could be anger against the government, or forceful situation by the government, greater attempt at force, for instance. So we'll see how that plays out. But those are the geographies that are highlighted by the astrocartography. And it's always helpful to look at those, because very often those geographies come into prominence in some way, come into the news in some way. So there's a lot of information here. I mean, October and November are just enormous months of radical shift, events, drama. Try and not get distracted by the drama. You know, come back to your higher self. What would love do? What would my higher self do? That's what you have to ask yourself. And as many of you are aware, I just have suggested an incredibly simple meditation stroke vision for New Earth every Sunday night at 7 p.m. UK time. And I chose that time because in the US, you know, for instance, that's 2 p.m. EST. So quite convenient times, you know, it's 11 a.m. Pacific, quite convenient times for the US. And in Europe, it's an hour ahead. In South Africa, it works well too. Even in New Zealand, it's sort of early morning the next morning. So it works well in a lot of geographies. You don't have to tune in at that time if it's not convenient. You don't have to tune in at all. And I'm not leading it. There's no Zoom links, no notifications, no reminders. And all I've done is suggest a possible vision that could help us to see, to accelerate the arrival of New Earth. You can embellish that. You can choose a different one that you make up yourself, as long as it's coming from the heart, coming from love, and incorporating those emotions of gratitude, peace, joy, compassion, those wonderful positive emotions. And yes, on the one hand, you know, we're working with the invisible, but we always do when we're creating. We've done it all of our lives. We just haven't been very aware of it. And we have an enormous amount of evidence now in terms of what these mass meditations do, these coming together of a large group of people. Look at the work of Lynn McTaggart. I mean, she has written books about this. You know, the intention experiment is a great one to refer to if you want some evidence. Joe Dispenza's work. I mean, there's so much evidence. And when we come together, and for people who follow my work, they are broadly going to be on the same frequency. So I like to refer to us as a family of frequency. We are not only making that energy additive, but it multiplies, it becomes exponential. So it's magnified, you know, it has a much greater force. And therefore, if it's possible to come together round about the same time, then, but nevertheless, you can tune into it at other times, we're actually altering the quantum wave structure. We are building this tsunami of love. We're building this wave, this energy, which is actually altering the energetic architecture in the plasma. I mean, I know some people who can see this forming. It's like a kind of, it's like an architectural plan for a building, but it's made of light. It's made of crystalline plasma. It's made of light. And when a lot of people focus on it, that energetic, that architect's plan of light, if you like, gets stronger and firmer, and tips into manifestation much more easily as a very positive expression in our realities. So we are literally changing the energetic architecture in the crystalline plasma before it becomes manifest, before it becomes matter, before it becomes an experience. So, yeah, you may think we're working with the invisible. Yeah, absolutely. But we're pulling it out of the quantum soup with a vision that's incredibly loving. And to me, all that New Earth is, it isn't a different place. It's simply an expanded consciousness. And in that expanded consciousness, when we, more and more of us will start to access it, we can feel the energies are finer. We're tuning into nature in a finer way. We're becoming more telepathic. We are aware that we may want to eat less or more plant-based food. We are aware of our healing abilities in a stronger way. We're aware of becoming the oneness, the flow of nature. And we're losing this sense of separation and division. And when we do that, we'll move away from, it's all your fault, it's not mine. You know, polarity, tit for tat, right and wrong, left and right, black and white. And we move into this flow of oneness, because ultimately, I believe that the universe is one consciousness. It's one flow of living consciousness. That's where we're headed. And when we can start to, in these really simple, simple ways of coming together with that simple vision, that simple meditation, we may start to get a sense of this entire universe is one living and loving consciousness, which gets to be very exciting. So I hope that's helped you. A lot in there, as always. And if you like my information on my books, my newsletter, my teaching videos, just check out my website, pamgregory.com. And I'll be back soon with another power-packed update for the second half of October and the lunar eclipse in Taurus. God bless, and thank you for all you do, and thanks for all, you know, the love I know that you send my way. So it is immensely, immensely appreciated. God bless. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.
Now, this seems most appropriate after just what's happened this week. Kulalim is an Israeli rasta, basically, a social music director. And he got together 1,000 Jews, Christians and Muslims who had never met before, and they gathered at midnight in Jerusalem, the Tower of David, after the final day of Ramadan.
to sing one song in three languages and three-part vocal harmony. So this is in Hebrew, Arabic and English. That was in 2018, and Kulalam has been doing this for years, and if he could get some of the leaders together to do the same thing, it would be magical. He also wrote another song called One Day, when everybody will be at peace in the Middle East. If you've ever been there, it's bad news. Now, Neil Donald-Walsh, he flits around the world all over the place. This is when he was in Slovenia and he was being interviewed.
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much for taking this time in behalf of Slovenian audience and also in our names for this interview and also for coming to us in January. We are so excited. Are you excited?
Yes, I am. It's very wonderful to be here with you here now today. And I am very excited to be in Slovenia. It's my first time. And so I'm very thrilled to have the opportunity to come and visit with all the wonderful people there.
Thank you so much. So, Neil, now we will take you a little bit into the time machine, okay? We want to take you back to when it all started, okay? I know that you were in times feeling despair, hopeless. I can still remember my times when I felt completely hopeless. But I can feel it in my heart that a lot of people in Slovenia watching this are feeling like this at very moment. It's really a strong feeling in my heart. So I want to ask you, why do you think that we need this kind of experiences? Why do you think that you needed this kind of experience? Do we even need it?
No, we don't. And that's the very first thing I was going to say. I don't think that we need this kind of experience. But I do think that we sometimes find ourselves within such an experience, and it provides us with a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful gift from life, creating the circumstances and conditions that allow us to expand our understanding of who we really are and to increase our ability to express that. May I give you a simple example? Many, many people around the world might make a spiritual statement, I am the light. It's a thing that people say when they want to inspire themselves. You know, I want to be the light. I am the light. But you can't experience yourself as the light. You can know yourself as a mental concept as the light, but you can't experience being the light unless you're surrounded by what? Darkness. So the only way you can be the light is if you're surrounded by the darkness. So the true spiritual student understands that the darkness in one's life is truly a gift in the sense that it provides us with a perfect opportunity, a perfect environment, a perfect energetic in which we can express and experience, announce and declare, become and fulfill who we really are. So the true spiritual student says, thank you, God, when things are going bad, not just when things are going well. And what's interesting about that is when we say, thank you, God, even for the things that are going bad, it sends an energy into the events of your life that actually transforms the events and changes bad to good as we move through our lives, which has happened in my life and which has happened in your life. So this is proof that the process can work. But in this experience of life on earth, I notice that we have placed ourselves into an environment of relativity where there's big and small, fast and slow, up and down, black and white, good and evil, and all these different contrasting elements that allow us the perfect environment in which to learn and to experience who we really are.
Wow, what an inspiring answer. Thank you very much for that, Neil.
You know, I lived on the street. I know what it means to have nothing. I lived for a year, not for a week or a bad summer or a tough winter. I lived for one whole year as a street person, what we call in the United States a street person. I had nowhere to sleep. I had no food. I had one pair of pants, two shirts, one pair of shoes. That's it. That's all I had. And I did it for a year, so I know what it means. I don't speak, you know, theoretically. I speak experientially because I've been there. I lived the great American nightmare, walking the sidewalk, asking people, do you have a coin, a little money, anything that you could share? Because I had no food to eat, and no way to buy food. And every so often, some person would be generous. You would think that people would be more compassionate to a person, but no. 4 out of 5 would walk right by me. They wouldn't even look at me. They didn't want to even look at me because they couldn't look me in the eye, you know, and walk right by. But they were embarrassed. They didn't know what to do. But maybe 1 person out of 5 would say, here, and they'd give you some coins or maybe some actual folding money. Oh my God, paper money. Oh my God. And you could rush to McDonald's and maybe have enough to buy 1 bag of French fries. And that's how I lived for a year. So I know I only tell the story because I want everyone who's watching to know that I understand hard times. I know all about hard times.
And you mentioned living on the street. Was that one of your breaking points in your life when actually everything changed around for you?
After that. It was really after that when I got off the street and I finally managed to get a job, you know, and I found myself back into the stream of things, back into real life. And that's when I realized, oh my God, is this all there is? Get up in the morning, go to work, come home at night. Maybe there's something decent on TV, who knows? And that's it? This is what I'm going to do till I'm 75 or 80 years old or 90? And that's when I realized, wait a minute. There must be more going on here that can't be all there is. So it was really after I got off the street and back into real life that I realized how vacuous, how empty real life really was, until I gave myself a larger reason for going on. I want to write a book one day called A Larger Reason.
Great title.
It's a perfect title.
Yeah.
And so that was but I have to say that my year on the street was a gift because it allowed me to see the contrast between being on the street with nothing and being in regular life with nothing. I still had nothing. It just looked like I had more, but I didn't have anything that was really wonderful in terms of a real reason for living.
Neil, tell us something. What role has God in this process, had God in this process, your past process you were just talking about?
Was he the breaking point, this turning point? Was it you or maybe both of you?
Well, I think that the breaking point was when I called out to God. You know, I really was so upset, so angry. Angry is the word. And I called out to God in my anger. What does it take to make life work? I can remember the moment I was calling out to God. What do you want from me? What do you want? Try to be a good person. What am I doing wrong? And sorry, I make myself cry when I think about it. But I was at the end of my, as we say in America, at the end of my rope, is the end of my rope. I didn't want to go on anymore. So I asked God, and that's when she showed up in my life.
Yeah, but you mentioned anger. When it comes to God, many people become so angry or negative, some of them even aggressive. Why is that so? Is the anger the main reason?
Well, anger is a very good emotion. It's what we do with our anger. But anger is one of the five natural emotions. It's a gift from God that allows us to say to life, no thank you, no thank you, I don't want this. But what we have not taught ourselves and taught our children is how to use our anger productively, how to use our anger as a energy for good, as a force for good. So when we misuse our anger and take it out on ourselves or on other people, then we are dangerous and creating negativity in the world. The problem in the world today is that we have not only have we not learned how to use our anger, we've not learned how to use our love. We don't know how to use love in a way which creates joy and happiness for most people. Some people actually use love in a destructive way, in a way that hurts other people. In fact, it's been said that every act is an act of love. Even terrorists are acting because they love something, and they love something so much that they find themselves hurting other people in order to protect what they love. So what we need on the planet is a course, a class that we could give in every country of the world where people could learn more about these simple lessons in life. Gee, I wish there was such a class in Slovenia. I wonder who would give such a class if you could only find someone that could sponsor such a program, such a class. Oh, maybe you guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Message of God.
Direct.
Okay. The game is on.
Yeah.
Tell me, Neil, what happened? So we are in the time machine, right? So I know this question, when people read your story, they have it in their minds. I just know it. So you had your turning point. God steps into your life, or you invite him into your life. And then people ask, okay, if I do this, will everything then be perfect?
No, of course not.
Yes.
No.
Were you ever afraid again? Did you ever feel again like life is testing you?
Well, I don't think that I was afraid again in the classic sense, but I was apprehensive, which is a little different than fear. But no, everything doesn't become perfect overnight. But we can find peace overnight. We can find peace overnight. And peace is not achieved when everything changes. Peace is achieved when I change, when how I look at everything that's happening in life in a different way, in a new way, in a radically evolved way that allows me to use what's occurring in life as a wonderful gift, as I said at the beginning, as a wonderful opportunity. And then that change in me changes the energy that projects from me into the world. And the energy that is sent by me to the world begins to impact the world and touches the world in a way that actually changes the exterior events.
There's many people that are searching peace at their partners, in other people, in wrong direction, right? You have to find it, create it in yourself first, and then you express it on the outside to the other people, right?
Yes, but you know what's interesting about that? The fastest way I have found to find it inside is to find it in another person. It's interesting. Because every time I find it in myself, I deny it. For example, I deny how wonderful and how sweet and how kind and how generous I am. Even when I tell myself that, my mind goes, no, you're not. You're just making that all up. I know who you really, my mind says, I know all the bad things about you. And so I can't believe that I'm as wonderful as I really am. But when I look at you, I can see, oh, what a nice guy. I bet everybody who knows you says that you're a nice guy, a nice man, a good person. And, well, she thinks that you are. She may be a little bit biased, you know, she may be a little prejudiced, but probably other people think that you are as well. And so I can see in you what I do not see in me. And so that's the fastest way for me to get in touch with what I really am, is to see what other people really are, and then to treat them that way, to treat you as the nice person that you are. And then I can maybe get to a point where I can treat myself the same way. Or as Jesus said, do unto others as you would have it done unto you.
Thank you for those words. Heart touching, right? I'm crying first time in front of the cameras.
We will use that, don't worry.
Neil, let's talk about relationships. They seem to be so important nowadays. How about people around you at your time of despair in the past? Did you have anybody, or did people leave you without support in the time when you most needed it? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I didn't have anybody, really. My father had passed on. I really didn't have anybody. My friends, my marriage had crashed, dissolved. So my ex-wife, she's a lovely person, but she was not able to be there for me. I was all alone, really. I didn't have anybody. I was alone on the street. And when I finally got off the street, I was alone in the little apartment, little house that I found. That's really why I turned to God, because I had no one. I was all by myself. But we don't have to wait until we're all by ourselves. We don't have to wait until we're all alone to turn to God. And that's my message to the world. Don't wait until there's no one else. You know, honestly, I was ready to just not play anymore. I said to God, I don't want to play anymore. I was really thinking about ending the journey. And then God turned to the angels and said, my gosh, a world without Neil? Somebody do something.
Right now.
And then all the angels said, not me. I'm not going down there with that guy. So God said, guess I have to do it myself. And so she came down and paid me a visit.
Well, that's amazing. For the finish line, okay, we will talk a lot about relationships in Slovenia. That is the main subject in our country. So help is on the way. But I want to ask you, now we are wrapping it up. I want to ask you something else. Why would you take yourself to your own seminar?
So that I could remind myself of what I already know. You see, knowing something is not enough. I don't have any idea that the people who come to the seminar don't know what I'm going to say. They're all going to be sitting there going, See, no surprises. No one is going to be in the audience going, I never thought of that. They're all going to go, I already know that. But to be reminded of what we already know and inspired to live into what we already know, to be encouraged to step into the living and the demonstration of what we all already know. That's why I would go to my own seminar, to get myself motivated. You know, Neil, why don't you walk your talk? Why don't you actually act as if you already know this? Because you already know this. So I want to invite you to live it. That's why I would go to the seminar. The seminar is not about telling people brand new information. It's about reminding us. And that's why people go to the seminar, because their soul will lead them there. Say, you really want to go to this, because you're not going to hear anything new, but you're going to hear it as if you're hearing it for the first time, because it's going to be a big reminder of what you already know.
I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm coming. We're both coming.
So thank you so much. Neil, we wanted to give you, in the name of Slovenian audience, something really special to you. This is your book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything, in Slovenian language. Okay, for your home collection, and it will remind you of the hearts of all the Slovenian people that is waiting for you.
Gosh, thank you very much. That's so beautiful.
Yes.
I'm very, really very excited to have this. And this is a very powerful book, by the way.
I know.
It's a very, very important book for people to read, because it tells them how to deal with change in our lives, which is the main experience of life for everyone. Just one change, one change after the other. But no one ever teaches us in school how to deal with that. So I'm very happy that this book was written, and I'm very happy to have a copy of it in your language. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Neil, for this conversation.
Thank you.
Well, you could join Pam Gregory on her meditation, or you could come to Infinity Spiritual Centre tonight, and we have our fortnightly meditation on Saturday. Nimesh is here, the artist, and you can come and do your own paintings. And then the following week, following Saturday, is our Spirit Fest. So we'll be relaunching our cafe, so you can come down there and have a cup of tea and a biscuit. This is a track I was talking about from Kululam, One Day. I'm Barry, being the voice within. Pakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.